I love it. I love it the way we've sort of grabbed hold of redeeming just a rubbish glitch at the start. And I was just talking earlier when we were setting up about, I just got the latest Open Doors update. I'm sure some of you do get them as well. This is why it's great to give them a gift from the church recently. But just reading, they've got a particular highlight on North Korea, and just, you know, I'm sure we know something about what Christians have to, and normal people have to suffer there as well, but just thinking about the believers in North Korea, whether they're incarcerated, and hundreds of thousands are in terrible situations, but even incarcerated in the country itself. And, you know, the church actually is growing, like it did in China under oppression, and it's growing in North Korea exponentially. And things like our technical glitches are nothing. I mean, you know, there's no comparison with what these people are having to live with, and yet they press on in and press on in. And I was just asking the Lord about today, really, you know, what he was doing. It's always good to know what the Holy Spirit's doing, isn't it? And I've used the expression before, but it's about priming the pump. And it's like those old-fashioned pumps where, I mean, it was basically just the lubrication, getting the pump, the water coming out of the pump. And, you know, I'm going to speak about this in a moment, but about the fact that, you know, we are wells of God's life, but actually it will remain within us if we don't prime it and actually release it. It's our responsibility. So that's all by way of saying, I really believe that's what, in a micro, what we've been grabbing hold of this morning. You know, oh, do you know, the words aren't up. Okay, we can't do it. Maybe next week we'll come at this again. No, what we've done is, and Sarah and the worship team have encouraged us in this, to prime the pump. We're going to grab hold of this. This life in us is not going to just remain in us. It's going to, at that point, give glory to God. But I want to develop that this morning and see what that looks like beyond these meetings. It's wonderful to be part of what God's doing in Revival Church. But there's more. And James said about this being a gateway year. I love the way, you know, God speaks to us separately and together and brings together things. And God spoke to me about this being a year of overflow. And those two things aren't separate or contradictory. An overflow needs a conduit, a place to flow through. And we are that gateway through which the life of God is going to flow through. So we are saying this year is a year for Revival Church of overflow. You know, and so anyway, let's get on with my preach. I'm just going to, otherwise going to lose where I'm going to be saying things. Today is actually Commissioning Sunday in Revival, on the Revival Church calendar. And it's something we do every year for threefold reasons, really. One is to create the opportunity for the leadership of Revival Church to recommit ourselves to that which Ephesians 4 outlines. I'll just read a couple of verses from it, which says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry." And you are and we are the saints. So if you want to put that as a prefix to your name on your letterheads, St. Andrew or whatever, I have a day on the calendar, I don't know if you do have, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry, you can designate a day for yourself if you'd like. St. Sarah's Day, is that one? Yeah, I don't know if there is. Anyway, it's every day. Yeah, it is. Every day is St. whatever it is day. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so it goes on. Okay, so that's what one reason for our Commissioning Sunday. A second one is to create the opportunity for us all to commit ourselves or recommit ourselves to Revival Church. We won't have on the screen, you know, the words we're going to put into your mouth, but I'm sure by even standing or something like that, we can actually commit ourselves as well with intention. And the third thing is for us as leaders, I know Alan's not with us today, but his heart's with us anyway, to recommission you as ambassadors of Christ into your spheres of influence. And on an individual level, this is going to impact lives way beyond Billericay. It's wonderful we've got a calling to our town, which is really exciting. But we've also got spheres of influence as well, which only, you know that maybe, you know, that God's called you to as well. So that's the threefold reason for our commissioning Sunday. And as I say, for some time I've had a sense that 2018 is going to be a year of overflow for Revival Church. And we've passed our 5-year mark and celebrated in style in November. And whilst growing and establishing ourselves as a church remains a focus, because we continue to do that, we have the sense that we need, the time's come really to upscale, really, the flow of the life of Revival Church into Billericay, into our town, into this environment. It's not to say that isn't happening. It's wonderful. It happens on many different individuals and corporate ways. But we sense that now is the time, in this year, now entering into our 6th year, to upscale how we overflow the corporate life of Revival Church into the town. I recently commented to Jane that Billericay could do with a river running through it. I like rivers. We were brought up, raised up in Chelmsford, and it's lovely to have a river or a couple of rivers running through Chelmsford. And then when I was pondering, the Holy Spirit reminded me that we actually do. And it's in the form of what God's prophesied over Revival Church. There are so many pictures God has prophesied over this church, and even he did with a visiting speaker who knew nothing about that, of us as a river, as well as other water pictures, as a river flowing through this town. So Billericay does have a river. It looks like a supernatural vein, but it's a river, which is really exciting, and it will prophetically and it will literally flow from this church. I say we've had a number of prophetic words, even before we'd started as a church, about that flow of God's life consistently from visiting speakers, from people in the life of the church. So it's an exciting thing, but obviously this needs to look like something, which is where we're heading to, what I'm speaking about briefly this morning. I would just say, to add to this, to be effective as Revival Church in being, this overflow, the stream needs to be pure. And that's really one reason why the presence of God and our worship life is so key and vital. The water needs to be a pure flow of God's life. So that starts with us as well. So our focus is on God as we seek God's presence and allow Jesus to build the church. The banks, this is a metaphor now, of this flowing stream which flows from us will inevitably, or hopefully, I'm sure, assuredly, widen. And that will represent the size and scale of Revival Church, and whose influence will increase as its life flows and courses through the town and beyond. This is exciting stuff that God's called each of us to. And we need to grab hold personally of what God's called us to, as well as corporately. I'm sure you all know this, but biblically speaking, the Christian church has never been a location, i.e. a building. The actual word means, in Greek, it means a gathered people. It's a real shame that, as far as I understand, I'm not sure it's the King James version of the Bible, but when they were re-rendering it or rendering it, they met together to discuss what word to use to best render the Greek word ecclesia, which is what the word church comes from in Greek. And it wasn't decided as being a gathered people or a congregation of people. It actually led more along the lines of a building and a structure or an organization. But actually, think what the church would have looked like in the subsequent years if they'd actually gone with the true meaning of ecclesia, of a gathered people, a congregation of people. In other words, about people, you and I, not as a place to go to. You wonder what that might have looked like. Anyway, and really, this is what it means for us to be an apostolic people, really. Bringing the environment of heaven to earth. It's God's life flowing from individuals and us corporately into our communities. I want to just read from John 7, 37 to 39, if you've got your Bibles, if you want to listen to me. And it says this, they're familiar words to many of us. This is Jesus' words. He said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink.
And here's the line, really. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Our families, friends, work colleagues, no neighbours, whoever, who don't yet know Jesus and who will live by definition godless lives. That's not a judgment, it's a description of their lives being godless. They live in a wilderness without God, and it's only the Holy Spirit flowing through us into their lives that's going to bring them change and eternal life. That's an awesome privilege, but it's awesome responsibility as well, isn't it? As I said this morning, my main aim really is to prime the pump so that the life of God that's in us gushes irrepressibly and unstoppably out of us for that purpose. I'm not going to speak for long, but I just want to go to a passage from Exodus 17 and the first seven verses, and then I'll just develop that for a couple of minutes. Here's what it says. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried. Moses said to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They were almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" God has called us revival church, Bitteriki, to bring us life where there is death or no life. And really that's the definition of a desert, a place where there is arid and there's no life. But that life that we're to bring has to have a supernatural source, as it did for the Israelites. And we know from 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 that actually that rock is a metaphor for Jesus Christ. And really that's a powerful reminder, church, for us to remain rooted in Christ on a daily basis so that life keeps flowing from us. It's interesting to note with regard to this year being of a year of overflow that in December, Jane was led to Isaiah 35 verse 6, which says this, "For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." About March in 2017, I was awake in the night and had a really vivid vision from God of a large well into which buckets were being dipped, and the water was then being carried to different locations. And God showed me this was a vivid picture of revival church and creating the environment of a well, which is God has called us to do, and as I said, we will continue to be focused on. But then that life, that water being carried into our town and into our spheres of influence as well. That's our calling, church. So the question this all begs this then is, what does this year of overflow actually pragmatically look like? And I would just like to say this year of overflow doesn't stop at the end of 2018, but it's just initiated at the beginning of 2018. Well, I'd say on the basis of what we've looked at, it has everything to do with the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It has to. God's Holy Spirit wants to flow through us. Here's some proposals, and you may be able to think of some others as well, of what it could look like. It could look like being inspired simply by God to show kindness to others. you see someone and the Holy Spirit, an unction from the Holy Spirit rises up within you, and you know you have to respond to that. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. His love and compassion rises within us. It could be being proactive in giving prophetic words to people. My apologies for those who haven't had a prophetic word from Jane and me. We've been, for the last few months, we've been praying through Revival Church. It's not to say we will stop, but we just had a sense we want to just give a word of encouragement, words of encouragement to you. And we've been doing that for the church, just to, I say, to encourage you, to strengthen you, whatever. But you can do that as well. You've all got God's life in you. Here's a challenge in the coming week. Here's the way we do it, and Jane will sometimes do it on the train. We just sit down. Holy Spirit, you know, okay, we know who we're going to pray for, but put someone on my heart. Who's that person who comes to mind? Go with them. Okay, what do you want to say to them? Then sit down at your phone, your computer, or your telephone if you want to phone them. Say, okay, words like, okay, I was praying for you, or God put you in my heart. I just said, since God wants to say this to you. It doesn't need to be dressed up in any fancy religious Christian jargon, but just say it in a way that they will receive. Trust me, they will be encouraged, strengthened, and connected in a stronger way to their Heavenly Father. That's what you can do. How about being bold and intentional about healing the sick? And I'm not talking about praying for the sick. Jesus said, believers lay their hands on sick people, they will heal the sick, they will get well. We're told to heal the sick, not just to pray for them, to heal the sick. So we can do that. We can all pray for the sick. Find someone who is not well. Ask them, have you got pain? How are you feeling? You know, some people it's obvious. If they're limping around, whatever, and you know them, can I pray for you? One day I had four people say, no, I'm fine. And they'd all told me they were unwell. But that might happen. But be persistent. But look for people to pray for. We can do that. Don't wait till next year. The opportunity is now. Some more suggestions. Being an environment changer wherever we go. If you're working in a rubbish environment or at school or whatever, you're thinking, I hate this environment. Change it through prayer, through biblical declarations. Change it into something different through prophecy. Whatever it is, change that environment. Release who you have, the Holy Spirit, into that environment. We've done it here in this school. It was flipping difficult when we moved from the sixth form common room in here. The environment we spent, you know, didn't we, Jill, in worship, it was 2 or 3 months. But someone came in here who's sort of not really connected with this church for some other meeting a while ago. And they were commenting to Jane, wasn't it, about the environment in this hall. This is the environment we have created in the Holy Spirit that is different. There is a different environment. I don't know if you've got used to it, but we are environment changers. You are environment changers. I need to keep moving. Praying in tongues on a daily basis and consistently as well to receive the wisdom we need for our lives and to release the intentions of heaven. Be there answers to prayers or solutions to things. Wherever we're at, we need heaven's solutions, heaven's wisdom, as well as heaven's answers to prayers. Pray in tongues. Bring down the things of heaven in your environment with the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So many more things. Or here's another suggestion. Bring part of the Revival Church, being part of the Revival Church initiatives like Karen was talking about, which seek to carry God's life into our communities. Or is there something new that God, the Holy Spirit, is inspiring you that we're not doing yet? Ask the Holy Spirit, what does it look like in this year of overflow for Revival Church in our community? Is there something different? It was great with Michelle grabbing hold of something in Boots. You know, we're at Christmas for 3 days, joining what they were doing in Boots and bringing Christmas cheer. What's God putting in your heart to change our community, to overflow? There might be something. So put the welcome mat out for the Holy Spirit. If God can use water from a rock to miraculously change an environment from barrenness to being drenched with God's life, think what he can do with you and through you and me as children of God who have the breath of life living in them. That's what Jesus promised was for us. Each of us need to see ourselves, like I've been hammering on about a little bit, as being part of this overflow. This river flowing through the town, isn't a real river. It's you and it's me. There ain't going to be a real river of God's presence without people. The overflow isn't separate from you and me. So this is counting ourselves in. Just to say, I'd like to encourage you over the next week or so, and you don't need to stop at that. Jane and me are sort of like just going to be fasting and praying, really to root this. So can I encourage you over the next week just to find, you know, times to fast about this or to pray about this, to grab hold of what I'm saying now, this year of overflow, rather than say, well, I'm going to do this in February, and say, Holy Spirit, what does this mean for me now? Because trust me, God will give you something, and you can, you know, like we've grabbed hold of things and made things happen and primed the pump at the start of this meeting, you don't need to drift into this year. You can grab hold of God's purposes for him overflowing through you today and see what that looks like. This year can be a wonderful adventure of overflow. If only we say, yeah, count me in, and how do I play my part, Lord? He's waiting for people who say yes. I was always a person who wanted to say yes. Maybe you're not, but let this be a year of change. We say, I don't know what this looks like, Holy Spirit, but count me in, whatever it looks like for me to be part of this overflow, I'm in. In a moment, we're going to be committing ourselves afresh to this vision, like I've spoken about. But just before we get the kids back in, I just think it'd be really good to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know God's presence has been here. But just for 2 minutes, I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, grab me after, or grab Jane after, one of the ministry team, and we'll pray for you and come through, because you need to have that full experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. So, you know, maybe that's something to grab us at the end. But maybe it's something you can receive now. But I'm just going to pray for us to be filled for the Holy Spirit afresh. And expect God to drench you and saturate you, because we're the only ones that actually can bring the life of Jesus. That's what Jesus says, out of you will flow rivers, streams of living water. We're the only ones who can be carriers of that life, so we need his life afresh. So I'm going to pray with, however you want to receive, put your hands out, whatever, open your hearts. But just be expectant, the Holy Spirit wants to deluge you with his Holy Spirit afresh, that you brim over with his life in really practical, pragmatic, dynamic, world-changing ways. We thank you, Jesus, you've made us righteous and clean. We're clean vessels through your blood. So thank you that we can partner with you. You can live in us and we can live in you. Lord, we cannot do this without you, but we can do everything with you, Lord. Thank you. You promised we're going to do even greater things with you and through you and for you, because your Holy Spirit lives in us and because you've gone to the Father. So now, Holy Spirit, we ask humbly for a fresh, empowering Holy Spirit to be the overflow. Come, Holy Spirit, in tangible, life-changing ways.
Holy Spirit, I thank you that as you drench us, that you would make us aware of who we truly are. Where our identity doesn't line up with actually how you see us, Lord. Would you show us that in increasing measure in this year, I pray. I had a picture at the beginning of the service of, you know, in films where they kind of take dust sheets or whatever off of statues, that kind of unveiling of things, and just sense that actually in our life, God wants to unveil more of who we are. That's been hidden, that's been shrouded. And he's bringing us out into the light, saying, this is who you are. This is what you were created for. I've given you life. I've given you amazing potential. Don't hide it away. Don't hide it away. Allow yourself to be seen as my child. And just see the incredible things throughout this year that people in this place and our kids are going to be doing for him. It's so exciting that God is partnering with us. And all we have to do is say yes. Today is a great opportunity for us to corporately be intentional in the direction that we are going. Thank you, Lord. We're going to grab the kids back in now. Keith, can I ask you just to go, and Karen should be on her way, but if you can gather her up. And what we're going to do is... if you're able and you want to, you don't have to, is to actually dedicate ourselves wholeheartedly to seeking first God's kingdom. Andy and I are then going to commission you into all that God has for you. This isn't about here. This is about there. This is about the spheres of influence that God is positioning us in, or has already positioned in, where we work, in our families, with our friends. We have something so incredible within us, but God wants that to flow out, to flow out, to flow out. This is the well, if you like, where we fill up our buckets and then we take it out. And then we come back and we fill up our buckets and we take it out. Because actually we need to impact the world that we're in. Then Andy, Jen, Jane and I are going to commit ourselves to seeing everybody in this place stepping into the fullness of all God has for you. Our job is to equip you and enable you, not to restrict you and confine you. And so we are going to commit ourselves to you, to doing that. And Alan's got it in his hospital bed, and he'll be doing that as well. And then we're going to take communion together as a family. We want the kids back in here because this is family business. This isn't just for when they get to 16. Actually, we want our kids to be saying yes as soon as they can open their mouths and understand the things of God. And God will take them at where, what they can understand. We've seen that time and time again with our own children and with the children in our midst. We've got some amazing, incredible young people. Each one of them has got such potential, as do we. We need them to encourage us, and we need to encourage them. That's how kingdom works, isn't it? So we did have a declaration to put on the screen. However, what I'll do is I'll read it through now, and then we're going to do it bit by bit, if that's okay. Because I was thinking, do I just say it and then everybody says amen at the end? And I think, no, this is too important. So I'm just going to read it through now while we're waiting for the kids to join us, and then we'll just do it kind of bit by bit. So this is the declaration. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the reason for us being here today. And that it's you who's called us to be part of this church family. At the start of 2018, we surrender our lives afresh to you as our Saviour and our Lord. We commit ourselves to the building up of your church, and it's church with a big C. It's not this church, it is the Church of Jesus Christ, and to each other. We commit ourselves to seek first your kingdom in our families, in this church, in Billericay, and the spheres of influence that you have positioned us in. Don't think you're where you are. That's not here, sorry. Don't think that you're where you are by accident, because surprise, surprise, you're not. You're positioned, and you need to see yourselves as being positioned. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit so that we may be fully equipped to live in the flow of your love and power. Enable us to carry your presence everywhere we go. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. So that's what we are going to be saying together as a congregation. So guys who've just come in, can you make your way to your parents and sit with your parents? That'd be great. And we're just going to say some things before God. And I've just been saying that whatever age we are, guys, whatever age we are, God has great plans and purposes for our lives. So what I'm going to say now, you can join in with as well as you stand with your parents and commit yourselves to what God has for you. Okay. So shall we stand, if you're able to, together? And repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the reason for us being here today. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the reason for us being here today, and that it is you who has called us to be part of this church family. And it's you who has called us to be part of this church family. At the start of 2018, we surrender our lives afresh to you as our Saviour and Lord. We surrender our lives afresh to you as our Saviour and Lord. We commit ourselves to the building up of your church. We commit ourselves to the building up of your church and to each other. We commit ourselves. We commit ourselves to seek first your kingdom. To seek first your kingdom in our families, in our church, in Billericay, and the spheres of influence where you have positioned us. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. So that we will be fully equipped. To live in the flow of your love and power. Enable us to carry your presence. Everywhere we go. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say this together, yeah? As the pastors of Revival Church Billericay, we commission and establish and release you into all that God has for you within this church and its outworking in our spheres of influence. We declare fruitfulness, blessing, increase and breakthrough into every kingdom work that you set your hand to. We declare over your life God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's provision in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jane and Jen, do you want to come and join us at the front here? And we can huddle round one piece of paper. I'm glad I printed this off. Father, we pray that you would seal those words that we have said today before you, that you will remind us of them in the days and weeks and months to come, that you would cement them into our souls so that we truly know that we are your sons and your daughters, that in this coming year we would grow increasingly into the fullness of all that you have for us. And we say thank you in advance of what you are going to do in and through our lives. We say thank you, Lord God. Amen. 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 Thank you. And we're going to take communion now. switch that off. We've got a couple of stations over there. And what I would encourage you to do is to gather together with some other people in this family and take communion together and encourage each other and pray for each other for your spheres of influence. Actually, let's commission each other to be all that God wants us to be. Because Jesus is the very center. It's what we sang about at the beginning, that Jesus is the name that is above every other name. We can only do this because of the cross. We can only do this because he laid down his life for us. And so we can make that decision that we will lay down our lives for others so that they can step into the fullness of life that he has for them. So Lord, as we take the bread and the wine this morning, as we remember your sacrifice on the cross, we are so thankful that you laid down your life for us. And we gladly lay down our life to say yes to you and all that you, what you, and for all that you want to do in us and through us. And we give you glory. Amen. Amen.